is Chris Stigler, and I am a PhD student at the University of Arkansas, working under the direction of Mike Richardson. And actually, just to let you know kind of the whole scope of my dissertation project, it's mainly encompasses looking at foliar nutrient uptake and the various factors that confound the efficacy of those applications. And so that leads me into the talk here today, which is trying to describe some of the characteristics of the leaf cuticle. And for many of you, you may be more familiar with the cuticle that surrounds your fingernail than the leaf cuticle on the plant. So we probably should have a little bit of introduction and some background. Just over many species of plants, when we talk about leaf cuticles, there's several general characteristics that we can devise. Some of those common characteristics are the fact that it's a very, very micrometer thin, waxy protective layer that actually envelops the outermost portion of a leaf. And though it's diminutive in size, it's really pretty remarkable because something that small really has a lot of very important functions within the plant. One of the most important of those being the avoidance of uncontrolled evaporative water loss, and also the avoidance of leaching of nutrients during irrigation or rainfall. In addition, it also shields plant leaves from insect, fungal, and foreign chemical penetration. So really anything, abiotic or biotic, the first interface for anything that's on the plant is actually that leaf cuticle. And this is just a schematic representation of a transverse cross-section of a typical epidermal area on a plant. And the reason I wanted to show this is just to kind of familiarize everyone that the leaf cuticle itself can actually be delineated into several different mechanically and chemically distinct layers. And as we see in this depiction. The EWF actually stands for the outermost portion, this thin layer here in white. It's the epicuticular wax film. And on many species, which we will see here in some of the images later, there's also epicuticular wax crystals that can arise. And this is generally the most hydrophobic portion or nonpolar portion of the cuticle. And some of the common constituents would be long-chained hydrocarbons, different aliphatic compounds. And then, not to really get into the specifics of all these other things, but just to note that is the most nonpolar part. And as we traverse along towards the epidermal cell, things get less and less nonpolar. But now, switching gears to more of a crop management perspective, the epicuticular surface wax is actually also the initial point of contact for foliar applied chemicals and fertilizers. So it's of particular interest to me as far as my dissertation work. and its chemical composition, as well as the properties, and specifically maybe the cuticle thickness, affects the absorption of certain spray solutions. So when you look in the scientific literature over some of the cuticle characteristics as well as their relationship to foliar absorption, really the things that you can glean are from other agronomic crops or horticultural crops. But some of the things that have been documented is the fact that the plant cuticle is dynamic as leaves age or through leaf ontogeny, also responsive to environmental influences. Oftentimes we'll see a response from the plant based on a prior stress, and also highly variable among different plant species, which highlights the need to take a look at these things that, from a, on a species-to-species basis. And also, some of these same researchers have actually documented component shifts within the cuticle, and these same component shifts, generally with that most hydrophobic portion, and looking at long-chained alkanes, they've actually implicated a cause and a problem with efficacy of absorption of foliar-applied nutrients due to these component shifts. But at the present time, little is known about the nature of the leaf cuticle turf grasses or the factors that may affect it. And so that leads us in to some fundamental questions we had. Maybe the same phenomena is happening with turf grasses, especially in relationship to putting green turf grass species, which receive many of these foliar applications throughout the season. So to determine some of the first objectives were to actually obtain a baseline information about the turf grass leaf cuticle morphology, the surface, and then also look at some surface wax thickness analysis. And most of this work was actually done last year, and I presented a poster on a lot of this. But I want to highlight a few of those things today. And most of this was done with my high-powered microscopy, whether it's scanning electron microscopy or transmission electron microscopy. The second objective, which I will follow and discuss, is the documentation of possible seasonal dynamics of the turfgrass leaf cuticle in a cool season as well as a warm season putting green turfgrass species. But now let's just focus back on that first objective and just take a quick look at some of the images that I presented in the poster last year. Just to kind of give you an idea, it's really a fascinating look when you get into these high magnification images. The image on the top is actually looking directly at a guard cell from pin A1 creeping bentgrass, and on the bottom we have Tiff Eagle ultra dwarf Bermuda grass. And what you'll notice is the very high presence of epicuticular wax crystalline structures, and also you'll notice that most of the stomata is covered and occluded with these waxes, and so it's just very important to note how waxy this is, and think in terms of this is the interface that the spray droplet is hanging onto and interacting with, and it's a significant barrier to the foliar penetration. These are some transverse TEM sections. You have to be pretty fortuitous sometimes to get some of these when you're sectioning at 60 nanometers. But I was fortunate to get some on Tiff Eagle. And one of the things to highlight here is the presence of, actually, you see a cuticle lining here, but it's also going all the way around the guard cells and also present internally. And then also you have some cuticular ledging. So again, it's just highlighting the cuticle as the primary barrier. And these are some, quickly I want to run through, using these micrographs and then taking a print image, you can actually find the thickness measurements, and the epicuticular wax film is the area of interest for us. And we did some of these measurements, and similar to other crops, we see a significant difference between the new and old leaves. And so now we talked about that objective, let's focus in on documentation of seasonal dynamics, and this is mainly through a wax extraction process and then compositional analysis through GC. And so really we had an experimental area already set up with the two species we wanted to look at. And so then it was just taking actual cores from this USG constructed site, and we did this month as monthly plant tissue samplings May through September. And how we went about doing this is simply to take the core standard cup cutter size, placed it into the brass cylinder, and we were just trying to cut as close to the verdure as possible, but still have an intact mat of tissue that we could analyze. And we also needed a known area. So just to try to trace this over a season, there was a multi-step hexane extraction process that we went through. And hexane, this organic solvent, does an excellent job with alkanes, which is our component of interest, because it in itself, it's an alkane and like dissolves like. So what we did is we had our sampling units. These were placed face down into 150 milliliters of hexane and allowed to sit for 15 minutes. Then the extract, because we wanted to get a total wax weight, we had to filter these through because we didn't want any confounding influence of particulates. And then they were pushed, the extract was pushed through into these pre-weighed tins and allowed to dry down to a residue, and then we were able to take a wax weight from that. Also, for GC analysis, as it got concentrated, I also put subsamples into conical tubes, dried down under a stream of nitrogen gas, and then resolvated in hexane for GC analysis. And briefly, I don't really want to get into too much of the details, but the most important thing here is the column we're using is a very nonpolar column, and we'll talk about that later. But we also had a homologous series of GC in alkane standards that we acquired from Sigma Chemical, ranging from tricosane all the way to pentatriacontane. And with these, we had our compounds of interest, and we were able to establish calibration curves, and then we could actually look at the amounts of these compounds in our wax extracts. One of the visual evidence of possible seasonal differences was easy to tell early in the extraction process, with May being the least yellow, July being somewhat yellow, and September visually striking quite a bit more yellow. And then, so is it a total wax load difference, or is it a component difference? So we looked at that, and there's a significant difference that was found in the total wax weights in September. It increased quite a bit, and this was a significant difference in Bermudagrass. However, there was a trend, but not a non-significant one, in creeping bentgrass. And this is a sample chromatogram locating all the different chain links of the alkanes. And again, this is a nonpolar column, so the longer chain links are going to elute towards the end of the run. But another thing that we're currently working on, because there's a few unknown peaks that didn't line up with our standards, we're trying to do some GCMS work to try to elucidate exactly what some of these hydrophobic compounds towards the end here are. But one of the neat things that we've seen that Tiff Eagle represents very well is a seasonal leaf cuticle carbon chain linked shift throughout the season. And you can see the y-axis here is nanograms per microliter injection. We have the carbon chain links here. We see in May, these are the amounts of the alkanes. And then as we click July, and then really visually striking here, we've got the presence of some of the very long chain alkanes, meaning we are having a much more hydrophobic cuticle building up here towards the end of the season. And then actually the results have been inconsistent with the creeping bentgrass, but this table I wanted to highlight, even though many of the alkanes are not showing up in the bentgrass, based on this retention time of this unknown compound at 18.7, we know it's a very hydrophobic compound. And if you look at the area units from May to September, they're increasing exponentially. So conclusions, turfgrass leaf cuticles of both creeping bentgrass and Bermudagrass do demonstrate a chemical compositional shift to more hydrophobic compounds as the growing season progresses. And Bermudagrass total hexane extractable epicuticular wax amounts were found to increase significantly, and we just observed a trend in creeping bent grass. So really, for turf grass practitioners, we need to know, does this make a difference? So we're currently investigating that. I had a poster, unfortunately it's already down, on Monday, where we're doing a field study, actually looking at direct measurement of N uptake, and we're going to try to correlate these leaf cuticle analysis with that to see what kind of effect it's having. So results, hopefully we're going to be able to maximize foliar uptake of nutrients. And quickly, acknowledgments for committee members, as well as critical research assistants, and my wife helps me quite a bit, so just in life in general too. So, but these are the other people that have helped out. Thank you.